Wednesday's presidential inauguration will be unlike any in modern history. In response to the violent mob that stormed the Capitol, local and federal law enforcement agencies have been ramping up security ahead of the inauguration. Currently, there are more than 25,000 National Guard troops in the nation's capital, multiple security checkpoints, and large-scale vetting of any military personnel on the scene. I'm joined now by Jenny Gathright, a reporter for WAMU in Washington, D.C. Jenny, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us what it looks like right now where you're on the ground.
Yeah, so there is a pretty intense security perimeter in downtown D.C., which is, you know, there's about a 4.6-mile perimeter. And inside the perimeter, there's an extremely intense military and police presence. There are some checkpoints as you get closer to the U.S. Capitol and the National Mall, where you have to be searched by Secret Service if you want to proceed. And life inside that zone has been extremely disrupted for people. Roads are closed. It's really difficult to get around. Many businesses are closed. And then the effects are kind of rippling out, you know, beyond just people who live inside that zone to the broader city and affecting residents all over in different ways.
Are there specific measures that have been put into place other than the national? We know that there are 25,000 some odd National Guard troops on the ground. Is there anything else specifically that we know are local and other law enforcement agencies also there?
Yes. So there's a heavy law enforcement presence from NPD, which is our local DC police department. There also is a heavy presence from federal police. I saw, you know, people in uniforms from Bureau of Prisons police. I saw uniforms from Customs and Border Protection, and there are also, you know, police reinforcements from police departments out of town. So, yeah, there's a huge law enforcement presence. And like I said, you know, some of the measures extend just beyond that downtown area. Many of the bridges, as of this morning, that go into the city from Virginia and also go into the downtown areas from neighborhoods east of the Anacostia River in D.C. are closed, completely closed to traffic.
Jenny, is this in response to specific threats, or is it largely a precautionary measure because of what happened at the Capitol?
The FBI has said, you know, in recent days that it's been monitoring online chatter and threats from far right, white supremacists, and other extremist groups, you know, following the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol earlier this month. So far, no far right gatherings have materialized in the city since January 6th, but you know, local and federal officials say they're still on high alert. And yeah, this is largely kind of just in response to what happened on January 6th. And there's concern that, you know, small groups of people might, you know, continue to express their anger and try to, and those threats on online might materialize into something. So folks are on high alert because of that.
We got one minute left in this part of the conversation. The mood in D.C. must be tense, but I'm imagining it also takes a long time to get from one side of town to the other. Is that what you're finding as well, given all these checkpoints?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that a lot of neighborhoods in the city that are farther from downtown, life is going on, you know, as normal. But for folks who are essential workers who have to get around the city to commute into their job, for delivery drivers, it's been really difficult to get around. And, you know, for those neighborhoods east of the Anacostia River, there's only one hospital and it doesn't have a maternity ward. So that means that, you know, if you go into labor, it could be possible that your quickest route to the hospital you plan to go to is now completely disrupted. So I think the ripple effects are real.
You were just saying that particularly for essential workers, women, people who might be about to give birth, there are real concerns about being able to navigate the city. What are you hearing from people in D.C. about how they feel about all this security around them right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's different from person to person. Many people say they understand why these measures are in place, but it is making their day-to-day life difficult, and it's exacerbating, you know, existing inequality in the city. I mean, DC has a large homeless population, for example, and many people experiencing homelessness who choose to stay outside of the shelter system, you know, they stay in parks and encampments that are in these downtown areas that fall inside the security perimeter. And, you know, outreach workers and mutual aid groups have been scrambling to get them resources and shelter because many of the homeless services have had to shut down because of the security measures. I'm also hearing from folks who are, feeling, like their life has really been disrupted. And there's a bit of resentment in the city over that because, you know, this is a city that overwhelmingly voted for Joe Biden. Many of the people who were involved in the insurrection largely came from out of town. And so I think there's a lot of resentment that, you know, about the disruption that the insurrection has caused for, you know, locals here.
And Jenny, you said that it's exacerbating a lot of the inequalities. Was one of the things about Washington, D.C. is, in fact, the stark inequality in our nation's capital, particularly among residents of color and Black residents. This could, you know, while the law enforcement there is there to protect folks, it could also heighten the opportunity for chances of law enforcement and residents of the city to come into contact, which is sometimes problematic, particularly if they're residents of color. How do Black residents feel about what's happening on the ground?
Yeah, I think there's sort of a twofold answer to that question. I have heard concern from Black and Brown people who live closer to this security perimeter, who feel uncomfortable about this police and military presence. And, you know, they say it's kind of like there's two sides of the coin. You know, we face violence now in the city from far right and white supremacist groups. And then on the other hand, this increased police presence isn't making them comfortable either. And then the other concern, you know, is that these neighborhoods east of the Anacostia River that are affected now by bridge closures, those are overwhelmingly Black neighborhoods, and some of the poorest neighborhoods in the city are over there. And I think people over there are feeling like, you know, why should we have to, deal with the consequences of this when this is not a problem we created and it's really affecting our day-to-day lives now?
This is supposed to be a celebration of a new administration, particularly for those who voted for this administration. Is there any celebratory sense on the ground right now, or are things just really tense, Jenny?
It's definitely a mix. I mean, I spent as much of the day, and over the weekend, walking the city and talking to residents. And I did, come across people who were trying to find their own ways to celebrate. I spoke with a Black woman who lives, close to the U.S. Capitol. And she said she was going to try as hard as she could to get a glimpse of the ceremony because she was so excited about Kamala Harris being the vice president. But it's definitely a different vibe. I mean, to contrast, President Obama's first inauguration brought 1.8 million people to the National Mall. And we knew that this year was going to be different because of the coronavirus. But, one resident I spoke to put it pretty well. He said, that was a time of celebration. This year, it's more about a feeling of relief at the end of the Trump presidency.
Couldn't add much more to that. Jenny Gathright is a reporter for WAMU in Washington, D.C. Jenny, thanks so much. And please stay safe this week.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.